Direct you back to Daniel chapter 4. Notice I didn't ask if there were any questions. I'm not stupid. As we said earlier, Daniel 4 is the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar and what happened to him. And in the results of what happened to him as God worked in his life. He had this dream. He calls all the wise men of Babylon to come to interpret his dream, and none can interpret it. And so he calls Daniel. Daniel comes to him. Nebuchadnezzar rehearses this dream to him. There's this tree that's providing all kinds of shelter and all kinds of food, but the tree is cut down. But the stump is saved. And then you have these watchers in verse 17 that come, and they say, hey, this is a demand by the word of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the lowest of men. That the living may know. This dream was not just for Nebuchadnezzar. It starts there. Nebuchadnezzar needed to know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he wills. But it's not just for Nebuchadnezzar. It was for the living. That means us. And as Nebuchadnezzar rehearses this testimony, that's his goal. He learned that lesson. He learned that truth, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Now he shares this testimony so that the living may know, because that was part of the dream itself. And so he fulfills that part of the dream. So we want to look at that this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Father, guide us tonight. Help us to know your word, to know its truth. Help us to apply it to our lives. We thank you that you do rule in the kingdom of men, and we can indeed find comfort and encouragement and peace and contentment in that truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've often said that it's hard to bring the truth of God's sovereignty and human responsibility together. Hard for our finite minds to comprehend how those two work together, the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. And we read here in this verse 17 that God rules in the kingdom of men. He is sovereign in the kingdom of men. He's going to set up over the kingdoms whom he wills. And we could read that and say, well, if that's already been determined by God, if he's going to set up over the kingdoms who he wills, why should we even vote? What's the point of going to the polls a week from Tuesday and voting if God's already got it determined, he already knows who's going to be elected, he already is going to set them up? What's the point in voting? Well, we have the sovereignty of God explained here. He's going to set up over whom he wills. But there's also human responsibility. We do have a responsibility to do what we can do for what is best and what is right scripturally. And so we need to vote accordingly. And I don't understand how that works together. Don't ask me. That's a question I'm not going to be able to answer. I just know that it's true, that God's sovereign, but I also know that we have a responsibility and that works together with God's sovereignty in some way. And so that we need to fulfill our responsibility. As we look at this context again, before we dive specifically into verse 17, we need to see the interpretation of this dream that we read earlier. And so coming down to verse 22, this is Daniel's interpretation. It is you, O king, that are grown and become strong, for your greatness is grown and reaches unto heaven, and your dominion to the end of the earth. In other words, Daniel's saying, you, Nebuchadnezzar, you're this tree. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make you to eat grass like oxen, and they shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, your kingdom shall be sure unto you, after you shall have known that the heavens do rule. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto you, and break off your sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if there may be a lengthening of your tranquility. Daniel says, you're this tree, and you're going to be cut down, and for seven times, it says here, your translation may say 7 years, you're going to be like the beast of the field. You're going to be eating grass. You're going to be without shelter. The dew is going to fall upon you for 7 years. But then you will be restored to your kingdom when you understand that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and he gives it to whomsoever he wills. That's the interpretation. Daniel, in verse 27, tries to get the king to repent. But verse 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Notice, I, my, me. It's my power. It's my majesty. It's my kingdom. Pride. Boasting. Leaders are not to be filled with pride. Leaders are not to be boastful. And I'm going to say this tonight as well. We have a president right now that struggles with that. Verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. He no sooner said those words, it's my power, it's my majesty, it's my kingdom, and God says, the kingdom's taken from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you to eat grass like oxen. And 7 years shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomsoever he will. That's repeated again. Nebuchadnezzar, this is what's going to happen until you understand this truth. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whom he wills. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and the nails and his nails like bird's claws. 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar basically went what we would say, he went mad, lost his mind. There's been speculation as to what exactly happened to Nebuchadnezzar, some kind of a medical thing. All we know is God caused it to happen. Whatever it was, he went mad. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stop his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those that walk in pride, he is able to a base. Nebuchadnezzar, finally, after 7 years, came to an understanding that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whom he wills, and he takes it from whom he wills. And he took it from Nebuchadnezzar for 7 years until Nebuchadnezzar repented of his pride and recognized that the Most High does indeed rule, and that he was ruling under the Most High, and he was restored to his kingdom. Now that's the context. Go back to verse 17. Because a lot of times we read verse 17, I'm sure you've read it, but I think sometimes we read it and don't understand this context. It's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. It says God rules in the kingdom of men. God's not sitting up in heaven wringing his hands over this next election like some of us are. He's got it under control. He's ruling. The word rule here is from the word power. It is the idea of to rule with power. And of course, God is omnipotent. He has all power. And so this rule in power is unlimited because his power is unlimited. He has all power. And we can't limit omnipotence. If you limit omnipotence, it is no longer omnipotence. You can't limit sovereignty. If you limit sovereignty, it's no longer sovereignty. So he has absolute control. He has absolute role. He has absolute power in the kingdom of men. Man cannot in any way, shape, or form overrule God. He just has absolute sovereign control. He rules in the kingdom of men. Now, if we really believe that, then why do we worry? Why do we fret? In Hebrews chapter 13, we read that that God has promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And it goes on to say, because of that truth, we need not fear what man will do unto us. And I might just say it this way, we don't need to fear what government might do unto us. No need to fear it. We can be prepared for it. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that in God's sovereignty we'll never face any kind of persecution. I'm simply saying we don't need to fear it. Don't need to fear what man's going to do unto us because God is in control. And in that control, he may allow some things that's going to be very uncomfortable for us. He may allow some things that we're not going to like. He may allow some things that's going to be difficult and challenging, but we don't need to fear it because he is ruling in the kingdom of men, and there's absolutely nothing going to happen that's outside of that rule and outside of that power and outside of that control. That's where we can find our contentment. That's where we can find our peace. He rules in the kingdom of men. Regardless of who is our next president, God is still ruling. He rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whomsoever he wills. Ultimately, it's not about your will. It's about God's will. We all have a will. We all have a desire. We all have a candidate that we want to win the election. But ultimately, it's going to be according to God's will. That's who he's going to set up over the kingdoms. Now, it says he gives it to whomsoever he wills. Give is probably not the best translation as in the King James. It's a word that means to appoint, to assign. See, God is the sovereign God of the universe, and it's all his kingdom, his universal kingdom. And he allows men and sets men over parts of his kingdom and nations, such as the United States. He will have a president over the United States. But he doesn't give the United States to that president as if now it belongs to the president. Doesn't belong to him. Doesn't belong to you. Doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to us. Still belongs to God. It's his. He doesn't give it to anybody. He simply appoints someone to be a leader over that nation. But that leader, as Nebuchadnezzar, needs to understand he rules under the Most High. He rules under the King of Heaven. And Nebuchadnezzar refers to him as the King of Heaven. And that leader is to recognize that he doesn't have ultimate authority, that he doesn't have ultimate rulership. He doesn't have ultimate power. He's under God. And he has simply been appointed or assigned by God to rule or to lead, but not with ultimate authority. You don't need to turn to it. I know you're very familiar with it, but I just think it's good to read it in this context, and that's in Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That word ordained. The powers is talking about government authority. They are ordained by God. They're appointed by God. They are assigned by God. God gives it to whom he wills. He appoints whom he wills. And Paul's saying the same thing here. The government authorities have been appointed or ordained by God. Again in Romans 13, for he, that is this government authority, he is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, he be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. He's the minister of God. He's been assigned and appointed by God, regardless of who it is. If President Trump is reelected, he's appointed by God. If Biden is elected, he is appointed by God. And we need to respect and honor that. 4 years ago, when President Trump was elected, those who refer to themselves as the resistance came into being. And for 4 years, they have resisted and have refused to acknowledge him as their president. That should never be the case in the life of a Christian. And if your candidate does not win next Tuesday, it doesn't matter. You still need to acknowledge whoever's elected as the president, appointed by God, ordained by God, and we need to respect that individual. It's in God's hands. He appoints. He becomes the minister of God. We need to respect that and submit to it. Rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whomsoever he wills, and he sets up over it the lowliest of men. He sets up over it the lowliest of men. Usually we think of a leader as being very powerful, but the emphasis here is that God can set up and appoint and ordain whomever he wills, and it may be the meekest, most gentle, lowliest person around. It's just emphasizing that God can put in place whomever he wills. Doesn't have to be a powerful leader. It can be the lowliest of individuals that God actually puts in place. In fact, let me think about it this way. The greatest kingdom that I'll ever be on earth is the kingdom of Christ. And what does the scripture say about Christ? He is meek and lowly. Meek and lowly. And he'll be the greatest king on earth. God in his sovereignty can set up over it whomever he wills. We need to, as I said earlier, recognize as God sets up over whom he wills and appoints whom he wills, whoever that is, we need to honor, need to respect, can't be the resistance. We need to acknowledge him as our president. Again, you don't need to turn to this, but in 2 Peter chapter 2, I find it very interesting as Peter talks about the coming apostasy. He says one of the descriptions of that coming apostasy: the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, or could be translated despise authority. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. One of the signs of apostasy is despising authority. Now, obviously, this is broader than just government authority, but it is included in government authority. We as believers are not to despise authority, whether that authority be the government or whatever authority we might, maybe it's our boss at work, whatever the authority is over us, we all have authority over us in one way or another. And it's not to be despised. And so again, whoever is elected to be president in our country, we must not despise them, but acknowledge them as the president whom God has appointed and ordained for that time. We may not like it. We may not agree with their policies. And just because God appoints them in that place doesn't mean that God agrees with their policies. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And we can't be presumptuous to know what God's plan and purpose is, but we can have confidence that He has a plan and a purpose, and we need to submit ourselves to that. In John chapter 19, again, I'm just going to be turning to some verses. You don't need to turn to them, but as Christ stood before Pilate, Pilate, in essence, was saying, "Don't you understand that I have power to put you to death, or I have power to release you?" And remember what Christ's response was? Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me, except it were given you from above." Even Pilate was given power to put Christ to death. And that power came from above, came from the Father. And so we need to understand that whoever becomes president, God has placed that person in that position, and he does have power given to him from above. For good or for evil, but it comes from God. You're familiar also with Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of waters, he turns it whithersoever he wills." Whether it's President Trump or whether it becomes President Biden, that heart is in the hand of God. What a comfort. President Trump can't do one single thing apart from the hand of God turning the heart. A President Biden won't be able to do a single thing except God turn the heart. Can we rest assured in that truth? Can we find comfort in that truth? That president won't be able to do one single thing except God turn the heart. And God can turn it whithersoever He wills, however He desires. And again, it may not be our will, and it may not be good. It may be evil in that sense. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. And we don't need to fear what man will do to us. And as I pointed out many times, man will do to us. We just don't need to fear it. I can't help but think of the book of Esther. It's a wonderful story. I love it. And as you know, the word God doesn't appear any place in the book of Esther. And yet God is all over in the book of Esther. God working behind the scenes, turning the heart of the king whithersoever he wills. God is working behind the scenes right now in the United States of America. He's going to accomplish his will. He's going to accomplish his purpose. He's going to turn the heart of the king. And we may not see it. We may not recognize it. And certainly those who are in authority, whether it be Congress or whether it be the president or whether it be local, they may not understand. But God's working behind the scenes to accomplish his will. And no one, as Nebuchadnezzar says, no one can stop him. As we see some of the things taking place in our country, and we feel that it is going in the wrong direction in many ways, I have to ask the question, you know, it's easy to blame. It's easy to blame the Democrats. It's easy to blame the Republicans. It's easy to blame the president. It's easy to blame Congress. It's easy to cast blame on the direction that our country's taking. And certainly there's plenty of blame to go around. But I want to turn it back to us. My question is, where is the salt and where is the light? Has the church, and I'm using the church term broadly, has the church failed? Aren't we to be light, pointing people to the truth and pointing out the falsehood? Aren't we to be the salt, preserving against corruption and promoting healing? If as a nation we're going into falsehood rather than truth, as a nation if we're going into corruption rather than healing, where's the light and where's the salt? And so we need to turn it inward. We need to look at our own lives as individuals. Am I being light? Am I being salt? Or am I just casting blame onto everybody else and throwing up my hand? Oh, nothing I can do. Well, I can be light and I can be salt in my little corner. Where's the salt? Where's the light? I am afraid sometimes, and I said this a few weeks ago, I was filling in for Lloyd when he was on vacation, his Sunday school class. And I said, I think sometimes as Christians we get more concerned about making people Republicans than making them Christians. And that's a wrong priority. Our main concern needs to be that person's eternal destiny. Or we could maybe put it this way. Sometimes I think I'm more concerned about winning a political argument than winning a soul for Christ. And I want to be careful in this next statement. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But do we get more concerned about making people pro-life than making them pro-Christ? Now, I say that in this sense, not that we shouldn't do everything we can to save the life of the unborn. I believe that fully. But what's the best way to save the life of the unborn? Isn't it to change individual hearts? Isn't it to bring people to Christ so that they will choose life over abortion? And yet sometimes I think that gets shoved aside and we get so concerned about just the pro-life issue that we forget about leading people to Christ so that they will choose life. And so we need to be careful with that as well. Again, I'm just sharing some of these thoughts as we approach this election. We need to be voting accordingly. There are many who do not understand these concepts at all. And there are many who are definitely leading us into socialism. I've never seen, and just in the last decade or so, there are more and more of our government leaders, even people in Congress, who aren't embarrassed at all. In fact, they are openly declaring themselves socialist. And maybe I'm crossing the line again, trying to find a balance. There is one party that accepts them into their party as they declare themselves socialist. And socialism is not a biblical form of government. And I don't have time tonight to get into to all of those ramifications, but let me just put it this way. Socialism is about groupthink as opposed to individualism. And the scripture is very much about the individual. God himself says he will judge the individual. The individual is responsible for himself. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every man will receive from God according to what he has done. It's all about the individual. We're not going to be judged as a group of people. We'll be judged as an individual. And so should that not carry over to our government? As individuals, we need to be responsible and not dependent upon the government to do everything for us. That's socialism. That's groupthink. And that's unbiblical. And there's many other things that we could look at scripturally, but that's the overall scriptural approach. And we need to understand that. Socialism has not worked in the world, and it will not work in the world because it is anti-biblical. Like I said, I try to find a balance. Maybe I've overstepped that balance tonight. I want you to be informed. I want you to be scriptural, and I do want you to vote. It is, I believe, our responsibility to do so, and so we need to vote. And then we need to leave the results in God's hands. He rules in the kingdom of men. He gives it to whomsoever he wills. And he sets up over it the lowliest of men. And then we can say with Nebuchadnezzar, as once he understood this truth, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways justice, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Will we praise the King of heaven? Will we extol him, regardless of what happens? When we go to the polls, let us praise the King of heaven. Let us extol him. He works in truth and justice. Let's trust him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much this evening for your love and your grace. Thank you that you rule in the kingdom of men. We extol you, we praise you, we honor you because you rule in truth and justice. At times it may not seem like it. At times it may seem like things are out of control. At times it may seem like the wicked are getting away with their evil and wickedness. But you rule. You judge accordingly, according to truth and justice. May we find comfort. May we find peace and security in you. We do pray for our country, pray for our leaders, we pray for the election, as we trust you to set up over our nation whom you will. For whatever plan and whatever purpose you may have, and prepare us not to despise authority, but to honor the president. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming tonight.